Okay, let's see, where was I? All reality frames and everything contained in them are part of the same consciousness system. They're all connected and they all have the same mission, and that is to lower entropy. What's the difference between physical and non-physical reality frame? Only the observer's perspective. Nothing is different. There's nothing fundamental between your dream state and this state. They're just two different points of view. All right, one last point, and that's your video lag. You know, when you do a virtual reality game, the big bugaboo, the big thing that is a problem is video lag. Okay, well, if you're playing World of Warcraft, you can help fix that video lag by speeding up your computer. There's two things it causes it. One, it being last in line, and second, being slow. Okay, in the World of Warcraft video game, you're both. You're last in line because the server has to compute first and it sends it out to you. So you're last in line to get the data, and then your video card, your computer, your network is slow. So what can you do there? Well, the only thing you can do there is speed up your video card and your computer and your network, right? You can't change that you're last in line. Now, with consciousness, it's just the opposite. What's slow in this virtual reality? What's slow? We are. It's this physical body. It is, this virtual body has to abide by the rule set. The rule set that evolved us, right? Our whole planet evolved out of this rule set, right? It was the big digital bang. In the computer, you have a bunch of energy, you put it in a tight spot, and you let it evolve, and eventually you end up with our universe, and then you end up with this planet, and then you end up with us. We all evolved under this rule set, so we represent that rule set. You can't change the rule set, so slow is fixed, but you can change whether or not it comes last. So here's what we would do. Before I get to that, I have one other one. You have to understand about little consciousness and big consciousness. Okay, little consciousness, little c consciousness is your intellectual awareness. That's what we call our individual consciousness, what we see and hear. That's our little physical matter consciousness. Big C consciousness is the big consciousness system. It's what you really are. Okay. Now, the big consciousness system computes and makes little C consciousness. You have the data stream in big C consciousness. That data stream is interpreted in big C consciousness. And then it is given to you here as your reality. You then have that interpretation. This is your reality. That's a little C consciousness, your awareness. All right, so how should this system work? And we're going to see, we're going to make a prediction here, and then we'll see how it works. First thing that happens is that reality is probable, right? We have our reality starts in the probable database. The very next thing that happens is your body's going to start to move. Okay, now we haven't got to the present yet. We're still at the probable reality. So before you even make your choice, your body, we're going to put the body in next. We're going to move that body up as high in the sequence of events as possible so we decrease the video lag. We're going to start that body moving before we've even decided what it is the body's going to do. Okay, so moving the body up. Now, the next thing we do then is to we get to the present where we make a choice. Now, the body started to move based on what was probable choice we'd make, and if it's wrong, the body's got to stop moving and go back and start do something else. If it's right, then the body can keep on moving as we progress with our choices. And then the very last thing that happens is that the big C consciousness computes the little C consciousness, and we have awareness. All right, let's look and see how that plays out. All right, anticipation of future events. What you see in italics is not my words. Those were words that were written by Dr. Craig Hogan. He made a list of, and I quote, unexplainable, repeatable, well-documented scientific experiments. Okay, and we're going to go through those experiments and we'll see how each one of them works. So they no longer will be unexplainable. The first was Dean Radin's study showing the body reacts to a calm or disturbing picture 6 or 7 seconds ahead of time. Now, what he did is he had a computer with a random number generator going out and accessing a library of pictures. So that computer would grab a random number, which is associated with a picture, go get the picture and show it to someone. Now the time between when the random number got generated and the picture was shown was probably milliseconds. It doesn't take a computer long to grab a picture and show it. Certainly no more than tenths of seconds. 6 seconds earlier, people would react to the picture. So they were going to show them something horrible. Now they didn't react in their intellect, they reacted subtly in their body. The electrochemical, mechanical processes in the body are what we need to speed up. It's not the mental part. That's fast. It's the this slow, has to abide by the rule set of this physical virtual reality stuff. We got to speed up. So they hooked them up to where they could see what glands secreted, what the EEG was doing at fine levels, you know, the little potentials at the muscles and all this sort of stuff. So these people were wired to see what their bodies got, electrochemical processes going on. Seconds, 6 seconds before the computer chose the picture, they'd start to react to a horrible or to maybe a beautiful picture. And horrible and beautiful things would cause different secretions and different reactions, and they could measure these. Well, how does that happen? Well, obviously, you know, we know probable reality database allows anticipation. Well, what about that random number coming out of that computer? Well, you know, that's a virtual computer, just like we have virtual bodies. You know, the consciousness system's playing all ends of this game. So it knows that it isn't really a random number, it's a pseudo-random number. There's an algorithm that produces that random number, and the consciousness system who's generating that computer knows what that is. He knows what picture's coming up. And it knows what picture's coming up as far ahead as it wants to. Okay. There was another one. It wasn't on his list, but it should have been, called the bright shafts potential. That was back in the 80s. And what they found out is they had these subjects, and they'd say, when the bell rings, raise your right hand. Well, they'd find that very fine measurements of the muscle and the brain, that the motion would start about a second and a half before the bell would ring. So the arm, the right hand, would start to come up about a second before the bell would ring. It's called the bright shafts potential. Again, it's measured, it's old hat, back in the 80s. This is science. And it's the same reason, right? We start the body first so we avoid the video lag problem. So it seems like it works that way. Now, everybody gets this data ahead of time, but you don't get it far enough ahead of time to operate on it, and you don't get it at the intellectual level. Little C consciousness isn't involved in this. This is big C consciousness. All right, reverse causality. We already talked about that. I just want to point out that what he wrote about it, and this is the misperception people have. He says, somehow it has an effect on an experimental group of cardiac intensive care patients. It didn't have any effect on the patients. What happened to those patients is what happened to that patient. That's part of the record. That came into the system. That measurement was already made. What it affected was the data. Okay, the data hadn't been analyzed yet. The problem is that people believe in an objective deterministic reality, and they think because what the patients did, the data has to reflect it. Just like they believe that what those Geiger counters got, you know, that the data has to reflect it. Okay, the clicks on a Geiger counter recorded at one time can be influenced. The clicks on the Geiger counter weren't influenced. The Geiger counter clicked however it clicked. It was the data describing those clicks that got modified. The actual clicks on the Geiger counter were gone. They're lost. They're not in a record anywhere. The only record is that data. It's still in the future, what the data is, how many clicks were in each one. You can manipulate that because it's in the future. That consciousness can affect machines that use energy, random number generators, random noise generators, telephones, recorders, and all that stuff. It doesn't affect the machine. It just affects the output of the machine. You see, you have to divorce the idea that the output that the machine makes has to be the output of what happened, of what the machine did. Those two aren't necessarily the same. We live in a probable reality. Okay. The last one, I think, it's the last one, yeah, is... the fact that no one has been able to show that the brain produces consciousness. In fact, when they put remote viewers and other people in the Faraday cages, which takes away all electromagnetic fields and other such things, it doesn't make any difference. They can remote view just as easily in a Faraday cage as they can anyplace else, and it doesn't matter where their target is, whether it's on the other side of the planet or not. They don't see any time lapse. That's because there is time lapse, but the times are very small. Okay, so. Consciousness is not physical. Of course you can't isolate it with physical things. It's information. Information's non-physical. All right. This takes us to the last chart, the value of a theory. Unfortunately, in the real world, the value of a theory is whether or not it supports current scientific beliefs. But it shouldn't be. We know that the actual value of a theory is whether or not it explains what is known, then it has to explain what is unknown, and that has to be verified by experiment. And here's a whole list of things that are now paradoxical or mysterious that this explains completely. And here's a whole list of things that new information is being predicted. Okay, so we have all of that. I won't going to bore you with all of that. Okay, like how intent changes random distributions, such as Princeton, Frontier Science Labs, how and why backward causality works, why Lao Tzu and the Buddha, you know, what was Lao Tzu and the Buddha talking about, right? We're all